You want to defeat Donald Trump, perhaps the man of your choosing as president? Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I thought it was sophomoric, or, you know, I thought it really demonstrated what people are upset about, that the people want to elect their candidate, and they don't want deals made. They don't want insiders choosing. Apparently, it disenfranchised enough people in these five states yesterday that I think that that backfired on them. And it pointed out that the people want to get in there and vote. And the person that gets the most votes should get the nomination. And then we go into a more sophisticated process.
Well, I want to thank you all for being with us. That does it for the broadcast. The time does go quickly. To the New Mexico State Senators Jerry Ortiz-Pino and Sue Wilson-Beffert, thanks so much. Former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, now Libertarian candidate for president, and Diane Dennisch, former lieutenant governor. We're on a 100-city tour marking Democracy Now!'s 20th anniversary. I'll be in Flagstaff tonight, on Thursday in Phoenix and Tucson, Friday in Fresno, Saturday in San Mateo and Grass Valley, California, then Houston and New Orleans on Sunday. Democracy Now! Has two job openings. You can check our website. A special thanks to Dennis Moynihan, Mike Burke. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is now 8 o'clock. We are in our pledge drive. Call 877-500-5266. Pledge your support for this community radio station. Coming up next, Wednesday Talk Radio with host Paul Rowland. But first, some announcements.
KBOO proudly co-sponsors the 2016 Youth Candidate Forum. The Multnomah Youth Commission, the official youth policy body for Multnomah County and the City of Portland, invites youth 13 to 21 years old to our Youth Candidate Forum on Wednesday, April 27th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Benson High School. There will be food, raffle prizes, and youth will be able to talk with candidates for city and county commission positions about any issues that are important to them. Remember, Wednesday, April 27th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Benson High School. That's 546 Northeast 12th Avenue in Portland, conveniently located near Lloyd Center MAC stop and bus number 70. More information can be found in kboo.org on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing, featuring women's clothing, jewelry, accessories, and gifts with a focus on U.S. made and certified fair trade natural fiber clothing since 1984. Gazelle is located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont and at GazelleNaturalFiberClothing.com.
And good morning. It's a rousing song to get us ready for May Day coming up this Sunday. You're listening to Wednesday Talk Radio. My name's Paul Rowland. Are the fascists bound to lose? Well, I think it depends on to what extent we're ready to fight them. Anyway, we know who they are. And got our work cut out for us. And here on KBOO this morning, we had a show prepared. But, you know, things get in the way sometimes. The Burgerville Workers yesterday announced their launched their union, and I had a couple of them scheduled to be on the show this morning. Unfortunately, they were called in to a early morning meeting, and we're not sure what that bodes for their jobs, for their union, but you will find out here on KBOO. So we're going to be talking about that. I've got a video that they did. We're going to play in a bit. But first, I've got some announcements of upcoming events. Today at 7 p.m. at Powell City of Books, 1005 West Burnside, from Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation with Kianga Yamata Taylor. For most of U.S. history, the police have used violence against African Americans with impunity. But after the murder of unarmed teenager Mike Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, mass protests erupted to challenge that impunity. In the process, a new generation of Black activists has come to question the old methods of struggle, puncture the Obama-era illusion of a post-racial United States, and declare without apology that Black lives matter. In this discussion, activist and scholar Kianga Yamata Taylor will survey the history and current realities of U.S. racism. She will examine how institutional racism has created and shaped the structural problems that affect Black people, such as mass incarceration and unemployment, even as more Black people hold political office than ever before. Amidst this discussion of the context for this new struggle against police violence, Taylor will point to the potential of the Black Lives Matter movement to reignite and broaden the struggle for liberation. The event will also celebrate the release of Kianga Yamata Taylor's From Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation, out now from Haymarket Books. And that is this evening at 7 p.m. at Powell City of Books at 10th and West Burnside. Tomorrow, Urban Farming and Climate Change at BARC, S351 Northeast 18th Avenue here in Portland, from 6 to 8 p.m. You're invited to join BARC volunteers and supporters for roundtable discussion about climate-friendly food production. Portland has a burgeoning urban farming culture, but with concerns about soil pollution, neonicotinoids, and climate change, there is more to it than just building a couple of raised beds on the curb. We've invited speakers from the Soil Not Oil Coalition, Bees Friendly Portland, and PSU to talk with the public about what urban farmers in the metro area of Portland are producing, under which circumstances and with what resources, and of course, what are the challenges? Do you want to grow your own food? Join us and learn the best ways to do it. And you can go to soilnotoilcoalition.org or www.urbanfood.org and Be Friendly Portland. So Nathan McClintock was assistant professor of urban studies and planning at Portland State. Jen Davis with Be Friendly Portland and Miguel Robles with Biosafety Alliance. That's tomorrow night, 6 to 8 at BARC, 351 Northeast 18th. Friday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Jade Apano Multicultural Space at 8114 Southeast Division. That's a Southeast 82nd and Division. May Day Film and Speakers Night. The Hella 503 Collective and the Portland May Day Coalition present a film on May Day 2000, when the Portland police attacked the first contemporary International Workers Day march. And a struggle around the right to protest on May Day began. Hundreds of people marched that day without a permit to continue the struggles for workers' rights and against capitalism. There will also be a speaker about current fast food worker organizing, the theme of today's show, with a newly announced union, as well as a speaker from the May Day Coalition. There will be time to discuss what happened on May Day 2000 as well. That's at Apano at southwest corner of 82nd and Division this Friday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And of course, Sunday, 12 to 4 p.m., starting at Shemansky Park at 1010 Southwest Park Avenue here in Portland. Portland May Day Rally 2016, 12 to 2 Assembly, 2 to 4 Rally. And you can go to their Facebook page and read this long description of what's going on. But most importantly, come on down. Finally, Party for Our Water ballot countdown this Sunday at 7 p.m., 7531 Northeast 33rd Drive in Portland. Join them for fun films and food. Stand up to Nestle's plans to bottle our public water in the gorge, With the presidential election dominating the headlines, you might have missed the very important upcoming vote in Hood River County. Grassroots group of Cascade Locks residents, farmers, moms, and local volunteers put a measure on the ballot that would stop plans by Nestle or any other bottled water corporation to truck our public spring water out of the gorge. Voting starts in less than a week out there in Hood River County. Some of you are probably listening. Feel free to call in during this program. We're probably going to have to open it up to various other questions unless we get a guest in to talk about the Burgerville Union organizing.
So speaking of opening up, this is the fabulous KBOO Spring Membership Partay, and we have a matching period right now during this show. So double the impact of your donation without any extra money out of your pocket. How? Pick up the phone, 877-500-5266. Make a contribution. Grants Northwest has made a generous offer to match the next $250 in donations called in during this talk radio show. Double the impact of your gift by calling 877-500-5266 right now. Friends, look, we're here with Amy Goodman's book, Democracy Now! 20 Years, covering the movements changing America. That's a $75 contribution to the station. That's only $6.25 a month. Okay, please give us a call, 877-500-5266. Make that contribution. Paul Rowland is ready to roll out a total activism hour. If you tune into this show Wednesdays, you know that that's what he is all about. He is a totally grassrooted person, and that's what you're investing in when you give us a call, 877-500-5266 is the number to call, strongly encouraging people to come in person. We are at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. We've got strong coffee. We've got quiche. We've got volunteers waiting to ask you what you think, okay? How often does that happen? 877-500-5266. You can also give online at kboo.fm, but we really need you to step up and make an investment in the station. It doesn't just come out of thin air. 877-500-5266. This is a matching period. That means a generous person is going to match your contribution up to the next $250. The goal for this hour is $750, and we need people to make the phones ring. 877-500-5266. Come in person. We are located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Give us a call. Back to Paul.
And we're back. And I just want to talk about this, what happened yesterday, and then we're going to roll a little video that the Burgerville Workers Union put together, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on at Hanford. So yesterday, over 150 people gathered at the Clinton Street Theater and then marched down the street to the Burgerville on Powell, and lots of people went in and ordered something and spoke to the manager, and they're asking allies to do the same thing. To people to go into one of the Burgerville stores between April 27th and 30th and express your support for the union. They're asking folks to say something really simple to someone at the front cashier, basically that you heard about the union, that you're excited to support a union store and workers, and then ask to speak to the manager and repeat the same thing, of course, very politely. So you can go to their Facebook page, Burgerville Workers Union. Go to www.burgervilleworkersunion.org. This is on the coattails of lots of exciting fast food organizing over the past couple years. Now it's come to Portland. So let's go to that clip right now.
Well, I had moved back to town, and it was like right in the like peak of the recession. I had had my own business before, and I just needed a job.
I worked at Powell's Books for a while, and I got laid off. And that was right in 2008 when the economy crashed.
I was homeless, and I walked in at around 9, 10 o'clock at night asking for an application. I'm surprised they gave me the application, didn't tell me to go away.
I've been working since I was 16. I was just like, all right, I'm just gonna get a job.
So I got a job, and now I just work.
I never, ever saw myself working there. I never saw myself working as fast food, period.
I work at Burgerville.
I work at Burgerville.
I'm 18 years old, and all I do is work at Burgerville right now. It's everything.
It can be pretty hectic at times, like when it gets busy.
It's busy when I get on, it's busy when I get off, so I'm pretty much just cooking all day.
It's just tiring, like really, really long hours all the time.
It's an awesome place to work, but I mean, there's a limit to it, you know? Like, working at Burgerville is not, it's not cutting it. It's like, okay, I can live paycheck to paycheck, but then what am I gonna save?
It's baffling that people do it. I think about it sometimes. I'm like, how do people like do it? And they don't. They're giving up something every month. Something important. Like having a car or not buying food.
Most people can't even afford to have an apartment. And Portland, everyone knows that the cost of living in Portland's gone insane. It basically took me a second job to be able to have a place of my own. I couldn't afford it, definitely, with what Burgerville pays me.
Even at 18, trying to live in a studio apartment or with roommates, I can't even afford that on the wages that I'm making right now.
I definitely rely on Burgerville for food. I'm not in a position to go out and eat or go buy groceries. If I'm not working there or on clock, just don't eat. Drink water, roam around.
They have their image that they're more sustainable for the environment and they take care of the community.
Their posters are always about like, we care about the community and you know, this local farmer, we support him by buying our potatoes from him, but you could take care of this local community, your workers. We're the local community.
They're also known for, ironically, their management, paying their management really well.
Well, the thing is, Burgerville's making a profit, and they're expanding.
I think that I'm poor because they're rich, and they're rich because I'm poor, and I don't think that it should be that way.
Like, everyone knows you can't really live on minimum wage anywhere in America now. It's almost impossible. I work hard, and I do a good job. I just want to be paid enough that, you know, and it's not such a struggle.
There's a campaign going on and it's going to change some things.
Well, we're trying to start a union and we're trying to make Burgerville a better place.
It's the Burgerville Workers Union.
We are a group of fast food workers that are forming a union and fighting for a $5 raise and better respect in our workplace and healthier working conditions.
More flexible scheduling, giving people the hours they want or need. You know, basic things we deserve.
We want to feel respected on the job, like we have more of a voice.
I just want to do my job and be paid a living wage.
So we should get paid for the efforts that we're putting in. Instead of, oh, well, this is what the state said minimum wage is, so let's pay them that.
Maybe they will work with us. Maybe they can care, and maybe we can change things.
This is going to make Burgerville better by having happy employees that work hard and are proud of their jobs.
And we're back. That was a video put together for this with this Burgerville Workers Union, just launched yesterday here in Portland. Exciting news. The workers have organized themselves at multiple stores in Portland and Vancouver. They're demanding a $5 an hour raise for all hourly workers as part of negotiations with the workers' union. As you heard there, Burgerville prides itself as being a local, sustainable, Northwest-based fast food restaurant with their company headquarters in Vancouver, Washington. Apparently, Burgersville's commitment to sustainability doesn't seem to extend to their workers. As one worker describes, I'm fighting for a raise so I don't have to go further and further into debt just to buy groceries and pay my rent. The Burgerville Workers Union is affiliated with the Portland IWW. My name is Paul Rowland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio, and we are in our membership drive, and we are talking about that as well as talking about these oh-so-important issues facing this community and beyond. Double the impact of your donation without any extra money out of your pocket. How? Grants Northwest has made a very generous offer to match the next $250 in donations called in during talk radio. So you can double the impact of your gift by calling 877-500-5266 and do it right now. Lisa, are you still out there?
Of course I'm out here, Paul. Where else would I be? 877-500-5266. We have amazing books. We have tickets to all sorts of events. And we do have a few people on the phone. We need more people to give us a call. And I really want to challenge the people who are beyond Portland, right? Are you over Portland? Are you past Portland? You're the one. We want to hear from you right now. 877-500-5266. And you know, when you're listening to this show, when you're listening to Paul Rowland, Wednesday Morning Talk Radio, when you are in your local community and you've got a grassroots issue, you know you can pick up the phone and talk to Paul or talk to a real person who will bring your issue on the air. That's the kind of place this is. This isn't like an intercom station that's hooked up to a computer that you know, regurgitates zeros and ones all the time. This is real people making a real difference in local communities. And that's what we're asking you to support. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. $75 minimum pledge. That's only $6.25 a month to get Amy Goodman's book, Democracy Now! 20 years covering the movements changing America. For a $20 a month contribution, you could get a pair of tickets to Amy's live appearance, by the way, here in Portland coming up May 8th. Really need people to show up, make the phones ring, or, you know, come in person. Strongly encouraging that today. 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. We got strong coffee. We've got some quiche. We've got warm, friendly volunteers who will take your information and ask you what you think about the stuff you hear on KBOO, because we actually care about that. We're also putting out our survey for people to give us input on our next three-year plan. We have those here, too, because we want to hear from you. 877-500-5266. In a minute, we're going to go back to Paul's show. But listen, if you've tuned in right now, that means that you value this programming and you understand what grassroots organizing means, because that's what Wednesday Talk Radio is all about. This is a matching period. So if you give us a call at 877-500-5266, that's 877-500-5266. Everything that people are making, people are contributing up to the first $250 will be doubled, okay? So now's the time. Please call 877-500-5266 or come in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Your contribution will be doubled. You'll get a cup of coffee. You'll get a great book, and you'll know that you're doing something positive to make the world a better place. Okay, back to Paul Rowland.
Thank you so much, Lisa Loving, our PM News and Public Affairs Director, and down here at this early hour of the morning as well, joining in and encouraging you all to call that number, go to kboo.fm, or as she said, come on down. I'd like to meet you. If you're on your way to work, you can come and talk to us. And as she said, share some beverages and food. And we are talking about the Burgerville Workers Union. I looked at their website. Yeah, they're all over the place. They are expanding. Are they doing it on the backs of their workers? I don't know. Are there any Burgerville workers out there? 503-231-8187. That's the number. I'd like you to call and talk to us. Tell us about your experiences. We heard some on the video there. Maybe somebody participated in the rally yesterday and would like to call in and talk about that. 503-231-8187. In the meantime, we've got Mimi German on the line talking about some breaking news. Hanford. Can we ever forget about Hanford? Last week, there was their latest high-level nuclear waste tank leak, and now there's a potential of a second double-walled tank leaking. And that's in the context of the 30th anniversary of the Chernobyl disaster, which, by the way, they keep talking about the worst nuclear accident in history. I'm not sure that's true anymore because there's another one that's still going on. Mimi, are you with us? Is she gone? Well, call back. Or Ross, maybe you could get a hold of her. That would be good. But anyway, if you're listening, Mimi, please call back. It's just one of those days. As I said, we had scheduled a couple workers from the Burgerville Workers Union scheduled to come in. They were called in to an early morning meeting, and we're not sure what that means. Hopefully, we will find out soon. But as I mentioned, their union went today, and over 150 people gathered at the Clinton Street Theater and then marched down the street to the Burgerville on Powell. And people are being asked by the organizers here to go into one of the Burgerville shops between April 27th and 30th to express your support for the union. The union is asking folks to basically say something simple to someone at the front, to the cashier, that you heard about the union, that you're excited to support a union shop and a workers' union in Burgerville. And then you can go ask to speak to the manager and politely repeat the same thing. And you can find out more at www.burgervilleworkersunion.org or go to their Facebook page at look up Burgerville Workers Union. And you can like their page to stay updated. That is all being requested by the Burgerville Workers Union, newly launched here in Portland. And we do have Mimi on the line. Good morning, Mimi. Do we have her? We did have her. Oh my gosh, it's just one snafu after another here this morning. Seem to have some technical difficulty with the phone patch, which our engineer Ross is trying to figure out here. And we'll just continue on. I'm just going to read. So a huge new leak at high-level nuclear waste from a tank at Hanford was a direct result of deliberate violations and cover-up of the first indications of a leak. This is according to Jerry Paulette with Hanford, Heart of America Northwest. Delays in emptying the tank cover up of the first indications leak and delays in emptying the tank, says the nation's the region's leading Hanford cleanup watchdog group, Heart of America Northwest. On Sunday, two Sundays ago, I believe it was, a massive new leak of waste was discovered between the inner and outer walls of double shell tank AY-102. Evidence of the tank leaking was ignored for over a year until late in 2012. This new leak is a direct result of criminal inaction by the U.S. DOE after a cover-up of the leak and Washington State Ecology agreeing to let U.S. DOE, that's Department of Energy, take years to begin emptying a leaking high-level nuclear waste tank, said Jerry Paulette, director of Heart of America Northwest. And so we do have Mimi, apparently. Hi, Mimi.
Can you hear me, Paul?
Yes,
oh,
we can.
Oh, good. Great.
Thank you so much for calling in at the last minute here. So what is your understanding? I mean, I know this has been going on and on and on and on and on, and maybe some people are even tired of hearing it, but we can't be tired of hearing it because this is just such, you know, if an earthquake strikes, we just can't imagine what would happen. They've got to clean up those tanks. They just got to do it.
Yeah, I don't really know what is going to happen. There seems to be no fix in the situation here. I've been following this double-shelled tank thing since we first found out about it, in 2012. And since then, some things have happened. And that is, at one point, I think it was in 2014, it could have been 15, but I think it was in 14, workers started to get really sick out in the tank farm area. And they weren't allowed to go public with that. They had all kinds of gag rules just in general when you are an employee of Hanford where you can't talk about what's going on. And to the strictest degree, because, of course, it's part of the Manhattan Project, and it still is part of the Manhattan Project, which is based on secrecy.
You mean, are there still secrecy laws applied to Hanford?
There are I don't know exactly what they're called, but it's basically gag orders. When you sign in to work there, you can't talk about things to the press if you're a worker. Mm-hmm. So you can only go through. That's why we have whistleblowers, and we need a stronger whistleblower law so that people can come forward. When Walt Tamositis, who was a whistleblower from Hanford in 2012, telling us that we cannot move the waste from these tanks to take part in the vitrification process due to the fact that we would probably have a hydrogen explosion in the transference of the waste from the tanks to the pretreatment plant. He was banned. He was put into, I called it the dungeon. He was put into the basement of URS, which was the contractor, also there with Bechtel. And he was not allowed to talk to anybody. And he was removed of all responsibility. He was a higher up. He was an engineer. He's the one who understood the dangers. And he finally had to come out as a whistleblower because his upper management would not allow him, who also was upper management, to say anything about this. So this is the kind of secrecy that happens at Hanford. So the fact that we didn't know about the initial Y-102 double shell tank leak when it began, that was a cover-up, is indicative of the problems at Hanford and nuclear power plants everywhere. Not that Hanford is a nuclear power plant anymore. It's a waste dump. But it's the same problems across the board. And that's what we talk about this as if it's one specific thing, this one tank that is melting through the inner shell of the waste tank into the middle between the inner shell and the outer shell of these 20 double shell tanks, which is all they have there as far as double shells. And it's a problem that goes so far beyond this that it's just incredible. It's overwhelming to think about. So we talk about these little specifics. So regarding this specific, people were getting very sick at Hanford, incredibly sick, just a few years ago. And no one knew about it because they weren't allowed to say. And finally, somebody came out. And I don't know if they were considered a whistleblower, but it was somebody who was sick. It was one of the families who were sick. There were multitudes of families who were affected by this.
And because they were bringing waste home, right, in their clothing and stuff. Is that right?
They were getting sick from, I don't know if they ever really said what it was, but they were definitely getting fumes. Mm-hmm. From the tank waste farm. And in order to get fumes from the tank waste farm, that means things are really have gone awry yet again, you know. And these families haven't been compensated properly. These people are sick forever until they die. And, you know, their end day, their death day for these people who got sick is a lot closer to when this occurred than it would have been had it not, you know, happened. And I spoke to, at the time, I called one of the main, she's the primary reporter out there, and I called her and I said, what is going on? And she said, it's bad, and they're not talking about it. And she said, she can only say what she's allowed to say. So I just wanted a confirmation that this is even worse than what we were already knowing. And she said, yeah, there are gases coming up from the tanks at the tank farm. Well, now we have this again, and it's because the issue was never dealt with back when this was leaking in the first place.
So, in a 2-minute nutshell,
yeah.
So who is now tasked? you know, this vitrification, where is it at? I mean, there's been like lawsuits back and forth between Washington State and the federal government. You know, everybody's blaming each other. I mean, is there any sign of movement on actually dealing with this situation?
No. And the reason for that is, first of all, it's as you said, everybody blames the other person, and you can do this for forever. It's just a game. It's the game of nukes. Just blame the other one. The DOE has the ultimate responsibility, and the DOE is the organization that won't do anything, and they never have. So then it goes down to, in this case, the NRC isn't involved because it's not a working nuclear power plant. So it becomes an issue of the tri-party agreement, with the agreement to how things, dates to clean things up by, and meeting those dates, and having the tribes included, having the Department of Ecology in Washington, which, by the way, is terrible. Their reasoning, and I spoke to them at a Hanford board meeting a couple years ago. I said, so what's your solution, since we now know that we can't move the waste from the tanks to the VIT plant? She said, well, we just want to bypass the pretreatment plant. And I said, well, the pretreatment plant, isn't that to separate the different types of radioactive waste. So you have high level, and then you have and transuranic, and then you have lower level wastes. And you split them up, and the high level waste is what goes to the VIT plant. It goes through the series of, you know, from the tanks to the pretreatment to the this to the VIT plant, and becomes glass. She said, well, we just want to bypass that. And I said, well, that's not how this is supposed to work. She said, well, that's what we want to do. So that was her idea. I think her name is Jane. And these people wing it. And I'm not kidding. I've met them. I've watched the so-called plans attempt to go forward. And right now, nothing, and for the last few years, nothing has gone forward. The people from the community have come in to these board meetings, and they've said, we know that you can get more double shell tanks, move the waste from these single shell tanks into more double shell tanks if you would just use part of that $2 billion annual dollars and buy those tanks. And they won't do it. And the fact is that the double shell tanks will buy us a little bit of time, but not nearly the amount of time that they thought they would.
It almost just seems like it's just too much for them. They just don't want to admit it. But it seems like it's, you know, it's again, it's like Fukushima. It's like, where, you know, where is the sense of urgency? You know, it's like they can keep putting it off and putting it off, but the putting it off just seems to make it worse and worse. And there's obviously no one to hold their feet. You know, Mimi, one thing I was thinking about, I mean, this is a terrible thing to think about, but you know, when Chernobyl, we're commemorating the 30th anniversary of Chernobyl. But you know, there, you know, you had a for all their faults, for all their terrible faults, a socialist, you know, communist government, and they made these horrible sacrifices, you know, to put that thing, the sarcophagus on it, and to deal with it. And it was horrible. And, you know, it shouldn't have had to come to that. But I mean, in a way, that's what it took. I mean, it wasn't that maybe even the best solution. Now they have to, you know, they're still having to deal with it. But, you know, they did, in a sense, deal with it, which completely different from TEPCO and in Japan and Hanford. Does that make sense to you?
It's very true. And when Fukushima happened, Arne Gundersen said immediately, you need to create a sarcophagus. You know, this has to happen just to keep down, you know, what's going out into the air. It was just for that part of it. And it's a crucial piece. You know, I mean, the steam off from Fukushima for years, you know, still to this day, the steam off happens, and it goes up into the air, and it comes down on all of us in the rain, especially on the West Coast, but all over. And we know that factually now, because our radiation levels are up about 30% in the Pacific Northwest. And I know that factually from doing readings, from lots and lots of people doing readings on the West Coast and across the United States. Our background levels of radiation have risen 25 to 30%. Since 5 years ago.
So
and that's due to
Go ahead. We got a minute left before we go to our next break, and we have a Jamie who I think might be wanting to talk about the Burgerville Union, patiently waiting for several minutes on the line. We also have Jerry on the line, who apparently has Geiger counters out in the gorge to talk to us. So maybe we could just hold off on our membership break here for just a minute and get Jerry up and talk about what he's got to say about the Geiger counters in the gorge, and then we'll go back to Jamie after the break.
Hi.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm originally from an area where there were 6 coal-fired power plants, and we realized there had to be an increase in radiation. So I bought all kinds of various Geiger counters to measure that. When the wind changes, we get a 5,000% increase in the radiation. So we moved out of there to the gorge, to this beautiful place, and I live just a few hundred feet or so from the river. And I've noticed some transitory increases in radiation spikes just since they've been talking about Hanford. And I wasn't sure if that was, you know, just an anomaly because, like the lady said, we have a 30% increase in ambient radiation. But I also wondered, you know, they have a program through Homeland Security, so they can't smuggle in dirty bombs. And being this is an international freightway, wouldn't you think of Homeland Security been measuring this radiation increases and spikes also?
I don't know. I have a sarcastic comment response to that, having to do with the fact that I don't know how much they really are concerned about Homeland Security. But that's a good question. There's so many questions upon questions within questions. But Mimi and Jerry, I urge you to hold on for a little bit because we're in an important moment in the life of our station. Happens a few times a year, and it means we're coming to you, our listeners, to ask you to support this kind of ability to, you know, get people like Jerry to talk about what's going on out in the gorge relating to Hanford. And I imagine he was probably talking about potentially radiation in the Columbia River, but hopefully we'll hear more. And we do have a matching grant from Grants Northwest, a very generous offer to match the next $250 in donations called in during this program. So please call right now, 877-500-5266. That's the number to call.
It's true. And my name is Lisa. I am over here in the fabulous Palace of Pledge. You could be here too. Strongly want to encourage people to come in person this morning. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. We did have one guy come in and he became a new member, I believe. Greg, new monthly membership, and he got the Amy Goodman ticks. Woo! Greg! Jocelyn. Jocelyn was listening. She became a new member too. Barbara in Portland renewed, and Natasha is a new member and new sustaining member. Woo!
Such
we
enthusiasm.
We want you to come over here and do that too, okay? You know what? If you come in person to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue this morning, you can ring the bell. I'm saying it. You can ring the bell, but we need people.
Ring our bell.
In the nicest possible way. We need people to invest in this kind of programming. It is so important. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. You already heard matching grant. Grants Northwest is ponying up some cash to match your cash. That's nature's way of telling you that KABU is a community of people, a mosaic of people, and we all have joined arms around each other to try to make the world a better place. And as you're listening to Paul talk on Wednesday Talk Radio, his whole thing is grass-rooted activism. Here, Jerry's on the line. He's going to talk about what he's been doing, just trying to track the pollution around him where he lives in the gorge, right? Because there are a couple of radio stations that are super active right here in the city of Portland, but they do not have the reach into our important beyond Portland communities. Let's just get beyond Portland for a moment. 877-500-5266. Want to strongly encourage people who are listening from the gorge to make a contribution and make sure this information keeps coming out, because I do not hear these stories on other radio stations, and yet we open up the phone lines and we hear directly from you about what's happening around you, okay? That's why this is an important thing to invest in and an important thing to support. 877 500
5266 is the number to call. Come in person. We are located at 20 Southeast 8th Street in Portland, Oregon. We've had a handful of people come up, join for the first time. We know that a lot of people are moving to our region and really learning about some of the deep-rooted issues here that they're not reading about in the newspaper or even on the online blogs. They're tuning into shows like Wednesday Talk Radio and learning about what's really happening in the Gorge, putting it together, putting the pieces together to understand their own issues, our own issues of air quality here in the city. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We're encouraging people to come in person to 20 Southeast 8th. Make a contribution, $75. Get the Amy Goodman book, $240. Get a pair of tickets to the Amy Goodman event coming up May 8th. It's almost sold out. So you know what to do. 877-500-5266. And now let's go back to Paul. Thanks to all who have called.
All right. And I would like to thank all those who called as well. And if you call that 877 number, 500-5266, you become a part of this ongoing important journalistic initiative to tell the truth. And we've still got Mimi and Jerry. And I would encourage those people who called that 877 number to consider calling the 503-231-8187, not necessarily the show. We do like to have more involvement in this program, in all our talk show programs. Get over whatever block you might have about talking publicly, like Jerry just did and called in. And Jerry, talk a little bit more. You know, it's really important to have people out in the Gorge. You know, there's that Hanford issue is just so crucial, and the fact that you know, it's got to be leaking into the river. I don't know, is that what you think, that those spikes are coming from the river itself, or you think it's coming from the air, or what?
Well, that's it. I don't know how much might be aerosolized. We only have 80 degree days, but most of it, I presume, is in the river.
Right.
And what got me started was I had several friends that were affected by Fukushima, and they were telling me what they were doing to monitor their foods, air quality, and et cetera. And so I started buying some of the more advanced Geiger counters from Japan. Because of the Fukushima, they kind of had a real run on them in demand, and they had to make them better. So I got some of the better Geiger counters out here, and they are audio and visual. And I didn't stop because I was busy to see what the readings are. But as I pass by, every time radiation hits it, you get a red flashing light, and you'll get a few atmospheric beeps on that thing from the radiation coming in through your home and from space, et cetera. But these were several that happened in a row, you know, which means that the radiation levels are not necessarily coming from space or background radiation, that there is some local source that's triggering it. I'm not moving. The river is. So I can only presume that it is something in the river that is causing the radiation spike.
Uh-huh. Well, listen, Jerry, I thank you so much. As I mentioned, we are in our membership period, so it's a kind of a difficult time to have call-ins on this show, and I really appreciate your doing that. We're going to have to let you go at this point. I encourage you to call back in the future when it's relevant, and maybe leave your number with our engineer, Ross, before you get off the line, or I guess it's impossible. We got all the lines occupied right now. You can call back after the program. Thank you so much, Jerry. And I guess we've got the Ross is going to call up someone from the Hanford Challenge to get some more inside information. And Mimi, react to what Jerry was saying and give us some of your further thoughts on this.
Regarding what Jerry was saying, yeah, it could be from the river. Chances are that it's still coming from fallout from Fukushima. People really do believe that we don't have fallout anymore because we're 5 years past, but it's not true because Fukushima is still spewing what it's spewing. The dust goes up from all of the work that's happening up there, and the winds blow, and it goes up into the air, and it travels. And so to be able to pinpoint what it is very difficult. It could have, there could be some evaporation from the river, but I don't think that our I don't know to what degree Fahrenheit in their case, that happens from the river, you know, when evaporation occurs. So I can't, my feeling is it could be either. I couldn't know. It's very difficult to test test radiation in water. It's a very, very expensive test to do. And when we do that, we're looking usually for tritium, because tritium bonds to the water molecule and hides within it and moves within it. So it's quite possible. We do know that the Columbia River is one of the most polluted rivers because of the plutonium and hundreds of other radionuclides from Hanford, which were originally just dumped directly. The waste was dumped directly into our river. And then when that stopped, now we have the runoff under the ground into the river. And now we're waiting for the second plume under the ground from Hanford to get to the river. So we're going to have another
it's
one.
It's a dismal scenario. We're going to have to tackle this at greater depth. But I just wanted to touch on it because it's in the news today. And thank you so much, Mimi. Really appreciate it.
Paul, can I just say just 2 seconds? We are going to have an initiative coming out very, very soon, within days, for Washington State. It's an initiative to shut down the Columbia Generating Station, which I'm running. I'm running this initiative. We're going to need help from Oregonians to get Washingtonians to sign this thing to shut down CGS. And I just want to give people the heads up that that's coming very, very soon.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mimi German. We really
Thanks,
appreciate
Paul.
It. A warrior against the nuclear madness. And I believe we have Jamie on the line still.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, Jamie. Go ahead. Oh, no.
Oh, dear. I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, Jamie Partridge. You're going to talk about the Burgerville Union. You were there yesterday.
How did you know? I've been part of the fight for $15 minimum wage here in Portland, and this is the most exciting development that we've had in the Portland area for a long time. We, as our listeners know, the fight for $15 minimum wage across the country has been driven by the organizing and striking of fast food workers, and now it's come to Portland. Folks, I don't know how much you've talked about prior. I got on the program a little late, but folks, if they want to be supportive of this Burgerville organizing drive, should come and go into Burgerville in the next few days, buy something, and congratulate the workers in forming the union, and ask to talk to the manager and say that you support the union. And this is an extremely well-organized campaign. I've been following the behind-the-scenes work. There are great organizers involved, and it's been a long time coming, this coming out of the organizing drive. And I want to suggest to those listeners who are excited, like I am, about this and might be between jobs, or maybe a student and having a summer off, or know somebody who's between jobs or might be excited about being a union organizer, SALT. The word is SALT. Are you familiar with that word, Paul?
Uh-oh.
It means you get a job in a particular shop for the purpose of organizing. And what I'm suggesting is that people get a job at Burgerville.
And they probably shouldn't say that they want to, you know, unionize.
No, okay. Don't. When you fill out your application, don't say the reason I'm doing this is to organize a union.
Yeah.
No. And you get in touch with the Burgerville Workers Union prior and find out what shops are good ones to get into. And there's dozens of Burgervilles around the Portland area. So it's www.burgervilleworkersunion.org.
Okay. Well, listen, that was short and sweet. We are a few minutes into our break here for membership, and I know you know all about that, Jamie, longtime community activist and reporter for KBOO. So thank you so much for calling in on that. And again, you have the website. And yes, we have our own needs here at KBOO. And of course, we run on just amazing volunteer energy and staff energy and all that. And we also run on the contributions. This is called listener-sponsored radio. How about that? It's been going since, 1949, I believe, that the first KPFA in Berkeley started up. and started this model, which is successful, but it's only successful because people continue to support it. And the way to do that right this very moment is to call up 877-500-5266. That's the number to call. Lisa, how are you doing?
Dude, we want to thank Jerry. Jerry increased his monthly contribution in honor of Barbara Bernstein. Barbara Bernstein is the host of Locus Focus, another one-hour environmentally focused show on these airwaves. Now, she was the original host of the talk radio in this slot, right? For many years, Barbara Bernstein, and her talk radio show was called Locus Focus. So we have people out there that haven't even been doing the show in some years, but they're still impacted by what they've learned on these airwaves. And the number to call to support this radio station is 877-500-5266. For a $75 minimum pledge, that's only $6.25 a month. We've got Amy Goodman's book, Democracy Now! 20 Years Covering the Movements Changing America, by Amy Goodman, co-written with David Goodman and Dennis Moynihan. For that $240 minimum contribution, that's $20 a month, okay? That's $20 a month. For that, you get a pair of tickets to Amy Goodman's live lecture May 8th. And that's an all ages event, so you could bring a kid. Can I just suggest to you, bring a kid to see Amy Goodman? I just think, you know, we're talking about social change. We're talking about how does change happen. First, it starts by people calling 877-500-5266. Make an investment in this programming. Then folks like the guy that we were talking with just a few minutes ago, Jerry, I believe his name, on the phone from the Gorge, describing what's going on around him where he lives in terms of air pollution, all this stuff, the things that you don't read in headlines in the newspaper, right?
And you know, Lisa, we're really trying to encourage that. We need more, you know, citizen journalists. They don't actually have to even be formally citizens of the United States. But just in general, people who live, you know, around here in our listening area to take the initiative and get involved and do stories and call us up. And it's all a community effort. And so it's all so important to do that. And what you can do right now, though, also is call 877-500-5266. And Lisa was giving us many reasons why you should do that.
And we are still in a matching phase. So if you do call 877-500-5266, or you come in person before the top of the hour, we are at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Get a strong cup of coffee, get a piece of quiche, and make a contribution. Your contribution is doubled because of Grants Northwest, which is a nonprofit organization that has made its own generous offer to double the $250 worth of donations called in during this show. We do have some money left to be raised, and so we're just encouraging people to pick up the phone. 877-500-5266. Paul, the other phrase for that citizen journalism is independent journalist.
We are
birthing independent journalists in this building, and that's where your contribution goes. 877-500-5266. I mean, I guess we'll go back to the show, but I have to put this out, friends. This is the time when you pull your wallet out, and that's why we're here now. And we will go back to the show, which is great, but you have to pay the piper, okay? So I just have to strongly make that point. 877-500-5266. Carry on.
Thank you so much, Lisa. We appreciate all your efforts and all those others here at KBOO. But we have a very important guest, Tom Carpenter, with the Hanford Challenge, to talk about what's going on at Hanford. Thank you so much for being available on the spur of the moment here, Tom.
Hey, glad to be here. And congratulations on your fund drive. I hope it goes really well.
Thank you. And so what's going on at Hanford in a couple minutes?
Okay, well, as most of your listeners probably already know, Hanford is the repository of most of the nation's high-level nuclear waste, and of course most of the low-activity waste as well. And that high-level waste, which is extraordinarily dangerous stuff, is stored in these 177 underground nuclear waste tanks. And there are two kinds of tanks, single-shell tanks. Many of those have already failed and leaked into the soil beneath the tanks, an estimated 1 million to 6 million gallons. And that stuff is heading into the groundwater and into the river someday. the other kind of tanks are double shell tanks, and those are the kind of standby or safety tanks that were built in the 70s and 80s to start taking on waste from these other failed single shell tanks. Well, those are now starting to fail, and that's the news this week, is that we know that one of those double shell tanks, which was supposed to last a pretty long time, failed about 4 years ago. And that was announced by the Department of Energy. But first, that had to be announced by whistleblowers and this organization, Hanford Challenge, because they were sitting on that news. Now they're forced to deal with that. They're pumping out that tank, that failed double shell tank. It's called AY-102. And in the process of doing that, they suddenly flooded the double shell of that tank with about 5,000 gallons of waste. They say they expected that, but that's not how they acted. So there's somewhat of a concern brewing about, do they know what they're doing? This is going well. And then a week after that, and this happened yesterday, there's an announcement again by Hanford Challenge and King 5 TV at radiation levels found in the outer shell of another.
Okay. Well, one. Listen, you're fading out, and also we have to go, and I apologize, but we will have you on at the earliest available opportunity to talk more in depth, because this is an urgent situation. Tom Carpenter with the Hartford Challenge, thank you so much for being available on the spur of the moment like that. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Lovely. And we'll have him on again. That's all we got time for. Again, support us in our membership drive, and we're out. We're out of here. Wednesday Talk Radio. Thank you so much.
World. When you talk about destruction, don't you know you can count me in, out, in, out. Be all right, be all right, be all right. See, you got a resolution.
The religion of Judaism and the political philosophy of Zionism must be completely separated. Judaism is a religion. Zionism is a political philosophy. And this confusion is well done to keep people more confused. But we are revolutionaries and we believe in dialectics. Out of confusion comes clarity.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Pan-African Film Series. This month, April 27th at 6 p.m., will be a screening of Kwame Ture on Zionism as Africa's Enemy at the Smith Student Union at Portland State University. Kwame Ture, formerly known as Stokely Carmichael, gives a talk on the Zionist movement, the difference between Zionism and Judaism. Again, that's the Pan-African Film Series of Kwame Ture on Zionism as Africa's Enemy, Wednesday, April 27th at 6 p.m. at the Smith Student Union, room 230.